99% of people say that family is the most important thing in their life. Yet, building a harmonious family can be a challenge to many of us. So many questions we have no answers to. In this podcast, I, Nevena Bajalac, Dubai's number one harmonious family expert and coach, author and speaker, interview parents around the globe so you can hear the real stories, experiences and struggles parents face. Every guest will share with us a unique discovery about parenting, something that nobody told them about. And I will also share with all of you unique tools, strategies that you can use to enjoy parenting more and building that harmonious family you have dreamed about. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new episode of Building a Harmonious Family with Nevena Bajalac. And today, my guest is coming to us from UK. She's a happiness life coach, mother, and she's an advocate and will talk to us a little bit about mental health, domestic violence, surviving emotional abuse, and how this can affect our children, how this can affect our parenting style if we survive or been through any kind of abuse or violence. Her name is Susie Wellsted. Susie, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. And I'm really passionate about this topic because I personally have been through, in my home growing up, a lot of violence, emotional, domestic violence, and it really leaves an impact. But before we dig into this topic, I would love just you to introduce yourself, to share with us your beginnings, maybe before you became a parent, how was your life, how this affected you to be where you are today as a coach, helping others, guiding others. So tell us a little bit more about your story.
Okay, so I'm Susie Wellsted, emotional well-being coach, as well as author of You Are Enough. Now, my background was full of domestic violence, and it was a family home that where we have a foundation of safety, but it wasn't safe. And I suffered a lot of emotional and mental, as well as physical abuse. And I went through life just being in a dark hole and not really knowing what life had for me. And I got to a stage of 17 where I made myself homeless. And I just thought, I can't do this no more. I really can't do it anymore. I've got to do it for me. But you see, as a child, you think everybody lives like you. You don't think that anybody's any different to who you are. It's not till you get realize that when you're older, your beliefs and everything are not the same. And that's when you start to question a lot of things. So I ended up in a refuge for women for 6 months. And I can always remember them saying, you've not got to go home, but you may want to ring home. Well, I made that phone call. It's one of the worst I made in my life, trying to, because I knew they were doing wrong, but I didn't know how to just end it all, because you still, like, growing up, you still got like a child's mind as well, because you weren't allowed to grow. It was a very controlled atmosphere. So then I lived there for 6 months. And there was a lady there that I met who lived in my town now. So I decided that nobody wants me here, so I might as well leave town. And I set up home in a town where I live. And I thought to myself, well, let's see what happens. So I had a lot of jobs, trying to find myself, trying to find belonging in the world. Still didn't have anything to do with my family, although it wasn't the right family. You still yearned for that connection, made a few friends. And I lived with a friend for a few years. And then I met my husband. And then I got married. And I never, ever thought I'd get married. I never thought I'd have kids. You know, when you've been in that traumatic atmosphere for so long, you actually don't want to bring up kids because you think to yourself, oh, my gosh, what if I do the same? Or, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to be fit to be a parent or anything. But who says? Because don't forget, these are your stories and your memories. Now, I didn't have any counselling. I didn't have anything, because you become really, you stand tall in your own body thinking, I don't want to be saying something that doesn't seem right, and I don't want my kids being took off me or anything. You get all sorts going off your
yes.
head.
Yes. For me, yeah, sorry, for me was like, what if I end up in the same relationship that's abusive, that's, you know, with yeah. the same type of man. So it's kind of this fear that also you might have, like, what if it happens to me? Like, relationships are, you know, tough and so on. I don't want to be in this situation.
Yeah. And relationships, they are not easy. Don't forget, when we fall in love, we have that instant whatever attraction, and it's questions that you do ask yourself, like, if you are struggling, because relationships are so tough at the minute because of what's been happening around the world. We're so used to our own space, and now we've made, you know, I've been with my partner for 30 years, there's things I don't even know about him yet, and you think, wow, you know, but it's because we allowed each other to have that space. You can grow naturally and allow it to be that process. So I can appreciate that it can be very difficult, but never lose who you are in that relationship, even when you're going through hard times. So I've got two beautiful, beautiful, amazing, amazing boys. Well, they're adults. They're in their 20s now, but they're beautiful boys. They're amazing. I did the best that I could with what I knew. I made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But remember where you've come from and what you've been given to learn what you did have and what you don't want to be. And don't be afraid to reach out for help. That's what I'd say. Don't be afraid, because, you know, like I said, it's almost 30 years since I've been with my partner. My eldest son, he was born on Mother's Day. What an amazing gift, when I thought, I'm not going to be fit to be a mum, you know, because you do suffer. You do suffer within you.
Yes. So what was the first step, you say, change or recovery for you, or healing? Let's call it healing and overcoming and learning your worthy. Because when we go through any kind of, it can be abuse, it can be neglect, anything, right? From our parents, very often we build this self-image, right? I'm not worthy. And I think a lot of people are carrying that. So what do you think? Did you have that sense? And now that you, I mean, when yeah. you're reflecting as a life coach, and how do you think it started? How did you start building a new self-image of yourself and understanding you are worthy of love and you are a good mother, you will be a good mother?
Yeah, I think if I go back to all the jobs that I did, they were always to support somebody else. So I worked in mental health for 8 years. I worked in domestic violence. I worked in suicide. I worked with disadvantaged teens. I worked with young kids. Because although I didn't have the experience, I knew what it was like. So I used that as my, I'm not into having loads of degrees or results or exams. Use what you know. And I've got to be so grateful for the awareness of knowing that I had this ability to just want to be there for others. And it's such a great place to be when you want to be there. But the pitfalls for me was, I was doing all that, but I wasn't healing. I didn't know about healing. I didn't know that you could get help. I didn't know these things. I never reached out. Nobody told me how to deal with my emotions or my mental health or my physical health. I was just a go-getter that had to get up, cook, clean, do. And I used that in my life. And I actually used that to a point in my marriage, because you kind of go from one place to another, but not realizing that you've got these attachments. And it's only till I started working for myself 7 years ago, or started that road to want to work and serve others, that I really had to start having words with myself. I mean, I started off with self-love, but I didn't have much for me. And it's not till you get older, until you've lived a few things, that things start coming back to you. And it's like, you sometimes think you're stuck in a rut. But what if this rut is to make you become something, you know? What if it is the kids are doing their own thing, everybody's doing their own thing, I feel lonely, I feel isolated. Come on, what is it? What is it that you need to do for you? That's when I started really looking at myself, because I guess that's where we all start, don't we? We all have this passion and drive because we want to serve others. But I didn't realize that serving others was going to meet make me look deeper within myself, because I was coming across these barriers where people were mirroring me and I wanted to escape. I wanted to go because I didn't know how to deal with it.
Yes, it makes so much sense. And I mean, the way you said it, it's so clear. And I think a lot of parents are sacrificing, or they are, you know, they think they have to give everything for their child. And after many years, I think especially women, because we love to give, if you don't learn how to receive as well, if you don't feed yourself, if your, you know, cup is not full, you cannot pour to others. So we talk a lot on this podcast and in general with families, right? And especially women, like, you have to prioritize yourself. And everyone has a different journey and different moment they realize that. But like you said, for you was like, okay, children are growing up. What now? What isn't for me? What is that I desire, right? And a lot of women really wake up at that age when children are growing up and they don't need them anymore. And they're like, okay, what now? Who am I and what do I want to do? But I love how you always, how you said you always wanted to serve and you always served people. What would you say, but let's talk a little bit back about, I'm very interested about this topic, violence, any kind of violence. If anyone listening, if they're currently going through violence or they've been through violence, maybe with their parents or in their families growing up, and they feel they still haven't healed, what is your advice? What do you think they should do first?
I'm going to say that, you know, everywhere there is always a sign, even when you're in a dark space, because I had a number of the Samaritans in my school book. And I don't know if you've heard of the Samaritans, but I rang them up. And that's who I rang when I left home. It was a helpline. And that helpline was where they got me a place to stay. And they really supported me. I think, you know, when you're young and you're kids and you're going through stuff, you really become isolated, but isolated to a point that nobody understands you. Nobody's going to get you, because you're having to keep everything that's going off within your body. And within your body, you can get tense, you can get angry, you can get, but you don't know how to express it. That's how I walked around for 17 years. I didn't know how to express anything. You know, I can't even remember really good memories. So it's like, any memories we had, and you've got to remember, kids that have been brought up, parents that have had that background of not being encouraged, have never been told that they're good or no kisses and cuddles, it makes a huge impact in how you connect with yourself and with others when you are growing up, even with the world. You know, if you didn't feel safe as a child, you know, how do you feel now? You know, this is what's happening now with the pandemic. A lot of people feel out of control and feel that they don't feel safe anymore. So we're bringing up those old wounds that we've had inside us to take a look at and then ask ourselves, okay, do I feel safe? Do I feel, this is where we're getting that huge buildup of fear and anxiety. And that breeds like nobody's business. So for me, it's like getting back to basics and becoming aware of yourself and not being afraid to say, what am I feeling? What are my thoughts? And do they resonate? And if they don't, what is it that I can do? Journaling is probably one of the best things you can do. But I never did it as a child, to be fair. I think I just, because I was afraid, who's going to read my stuff? Who's going to see my stuff? You know, so I think we get over it. We get over it the best way we do, by complying, by compromising, by tolerating so much, until one day you just think, that's it. And for me, it was that helpline that was in the back of my book. For others, it may be a friend. I would say that if anybody is listening, whether you're a parent or adult or a child, get yourself a safety plan. Write down what you can do when you really feel, especially when you're not in that place of always having to watch your back or whatever. Try and find at least something or someone that you can reach out to, and just do a safety plan of, what is it that I can do? Who is it that I can turn to? Where are my details if I really need them quickly to make that jump and make that escape? Because you weren't born here for that. You're not born, whether it's your parents, whether it's your partner, you are not here to be a bully, but to be bullied by anybody. That's wrong. That is completely wrong. And the sooner you realize that, the better. Because that's when we get into the beliefs of I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. And I'll say to anybody that's listening now, I had that belief for years and years and years until I changed that perception. But, you know, the stories I was telling myself, I'm not enough. I'm not. Who told me I'm not enough? Who told me I'm not enough? Well, nobody told me. Nobody told me that I wasn't enough, but the behaviors of others made me think I wasn't enough.
Yes.
Because everything I did was not praised. Everything, and that's what we want as kids. That's the best way to grow and evolve. But because nobody said that to me, I just ended up thinking I wasn't enough until I realized that nobody said that. So another thing, any belief that comes up, what is it that I believe and why? Is it your belief or somebody else's? And we don't realize as we get older, the conditioning and the experience is not us. We can change that at any time. Change it because it will do you the world of good. If you're meant to hear this, you're meant to hear it. Take notes. If not, it will just embed where it's supposed to embed.
Yes. And like you said, I'm very passionate about this topic and paradigms in general, because what we realize, most of our beliefs are just impressed either genetically, culturally, or our family, right? From the food we like to eat, we eat specific food because our parents cooked for us, right? There was so much food that I never tasted until I was in my 20s, right? Because I never had experience. The family was eating just the specific types of food, right? So I realized, wait, I don't even like this, or I like this. So everything from those simple things, and not to mention the beliefs from ourselves, our emotions, relationships, money, everything. Like you said, it's not actually ours. It's just embedded in us, in our subconscious, while our subconscious were all open, right? From the environment where we lived. Well, Susie, I mean, I love this. What are some last advice you would like to share with everyone listening here? And you will share with us a little bit more about your book, so people will definitely go out and check that. But what are some last advice you have to everyone, anyone who struggles, not necessarily maybe with violence, but maybe any kind of mental issue, mental, you know, health issue, depression, anxiety. I know you're very passionate to help people. Yeah. So what is your advice?
I think the best thing to do is always check in with yourself. Before you do anything, always check in, and do it every hour if you have to. Yes, it's a new habit, but you can do this. What am I feeling and why? You know, when you're waking up, have I got some sadness? Okay, what can I do about that sadness? Can I play some music and let it just bypass? Or is there something deeper? The more we start asking these questions to ourselves, and I don't mean beating yourself and analyzing yourself. We've got the world to do that. We don't need none of that. We need to empower you to become the best of you. So every day, just check in with yourself. You know, check in. How do I feel mentally? What is it that I can do? Oh, can I go for a walk? You know, can I have a little bit of my favorite chocolate? Of course I can. Can I have a hug in a mug because nobody's here? You know, those little things that we sometimes take for granted, you know, reading my favorite book, or just finding a book and reading a sentence, listening to the radio, or your favorite music. Music's fantastic to get yourself out of any funk. But I mean music as in like listening to a piano, or listening to music without words is fantastic, because sometimes we love the music, then we get into the songs, think of a memory, and we get back down again, you know? Yes. So little things you can do. And kids are amazing. Learn from them. My children all my life, I think the biggest lesson they've ever taught me is to have boundaries, and I still struggle with that today. Have boundaries. Say no and mean no. When an emotion comes up, acknowledge it, allow yourself to feel it and release it. And yes, you're going to be numb if you've never done this before, but be patient with yourself. What happened to you to make you feel like that? Don't be so hard on yourself. You're trying to fit in everything. You've got this do-do list. But you know what? Starting from today, make a be list. How can I be more being? How can I be more present?
I love that, man. Thank you, Susie, so much. So tell us a little bit more about how can people reach out to you and tell us a little bit more about your book. We will make sure to put a description and all the links in the description of this episode below. So please make sure to check and connect. But tell us, Susie, in the meantime, a little bit more about your work.
Yeah, well, I love people. I love emotions. And that's what it's all about. Emotional well-being coach, and I guide my clients to let go of emotions that they're holding on to. And it's just a process that I teach, that I guide people through. It's not a teaching, it's a guidance. All of it's guidance, you know, but you just need people to prompt you sometimes for that best version of you to shine. I also have collaborated this year with Vibrate Higher, which everything will be on the website. Vibrate Higher is for people that are feeling quite lost and confused in society today. So it's brilliant. I've collaborated with four of the people. We have a divine couple that we speak on. And I'm also part of Sisters of Light, where I'm coaching women that are going through their trauma and then going to serve others into the world. And that's where we're at the minute. So there's loads. You know, I know social media can get too much for a lot of people, especially when you feel overwhelmed and anxious. But remember the good things you can take from it. Conversations that uplift you, people that want to serve you so that you can serve others. Because we all have that kind of, you know, wanting to do something. We're so free spirited now. And then being confined and controlled is not the way. Let's do something together. And the book. It's a book that I've written in 2018. I don't know whether you can see it. It's called You Are Enough. I Believe in You. Just be you. You are enough. And that telephone box is the telephone box that I rang when I was younger at home. So the telephone box resembles where I was at 17 when I decided I had to leave home because it wasn't safe for me to stay there anymore. And the book is, I tell you what, it's short, sweet, but it's full of stuff like we've been talking about right here, right now. Do you want me to go into a page for you?
We will make sure to put a link so people can purchase and then check it. Mm-hmm. So we will do that one. But I will invite everyone to definitely read it. There is never enough information on our emotions and our mental health. Well, yeah. Thank you. Susie, for being here, I don't have enough words to share how much I appreciate your time and sharing with us your journey as a mother, as a person, as a spiritual being here and your process, your healing. Thank you for everything. I want to invite everyone to download the episode, share the episode, connect with Susie, share your stories with us if you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you in the next one.